Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Bicycles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, things for which the audience has ruined them for you, things, with Scott Aukerman. Let's go! It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh, wonderful guest with us on this program. Very excited about this, Jordan. I could not be more excited!
I know I've described guests before as a get.
Right, sure. No, you've used that word before, no doubt about it.
It's been bullshit up until now. This is an actual get.
This is a real get. I mean, this is going to change. I think this might change the trajectory of Jordan, Jesse, Go in the same way that getting Hugh Grant after the prostitute incident changed the trajectory of the Jay Leno Tonight Show.
Yeah, yeah. And then HBO will make a TV movie about it.
Right, exactly. And in this case, I think I'm Jay Leno. Our guest, Scott Aukerman, is Hugh Grant, and you're the prostitute.
Great. I was going to say I wanted to be the prostitute, but you were with me on that.
Hello, boys. Can I just say two things? First of all, I love how real and sincere you are in these introductions. Secondly, the Prostitute Institute, that's what you were going to say.
Yes.
I would love to attend there
that
at some point.
Been,
at least
been
be a guest
a better
speaker.
Direction.
I was at a
maybe an artist in residence.
I was at a comedy rehearsal recently, and that.
Oh,
kind of
wait
same
a minute, everyone! Hold on, Hollywood, are you listening?
I was rehearsing for comedy. That's true, because I'm a professional. I don't just go up and start doing comedy.
No.
I do my comedy extemporaneously, like Mr. Robin Williams. Maybe you've heard of him.
Ah, yes.
And that kind of same, you know, letter replacement led to the delightful phrase hard corn porn. Someone said hard corn porn, and
oh, I like it.
That's been stuck in my brain ever since.
That's and, a lot of fun. That's good times.
I have no desire for it to leave either.
Jesse, I like how both you and I both just
rolled up our shirt sleeves
as if like it's time to get down to business.
Or it's time to beat up Jordan. That's where I thought it was going when I saw two really tall men. Jesse's tall. Scott, you're six-ish.
Six and change. Sure.
I saw you guys both looking at me and rolling up your sleeves.
Yeah.
I thought it was time for a beatdown.
Shit's going down.
I kind of saw it as a John Kerry in Iowa type situation where we were identifying with the working man.
You guys are in the Rust Belt.
I'm not some East Coast coastal liberal academia, you know, ivory tower. I know what it's like to roll up your sleeves and do real work,
like
right
giving
here,
speeches
on a podcast or giving a speech, a speech or a talk.
It may be just that this apartment is swelteringly hot right now.
It is unpleasantly hot, and it will continue to be unpleasantly hot, unfortunately. Scott Aukerman is a gifted comedy writer. You might know him. I'm going to pretend I'm just addressing Jordan. Jordan knows this.
Mm.
So I'm going to go ahead, and behind my head is sitting John the intern. I'm going to tell him, Scott Aukerman, a gifted comedy writer, the man behind, he was a writer on the Mr. Show television program. He was the writer of Shark's Tale 2.
Shark Tale 2.
Excuse me.
It wasn't exclusively the Shark's Tale.
Okay.
It was a tale about a shark.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so Shark Tale 2.
I'm not finished. A shark who had a dream.
Right. Recently a writer on the MTV Awards for movies. Is that what the awards were this time?
They were celebrating movies, the history of cinema.
MTV put together a great new awards show for classic Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Lana Turner, Myrna Loy.
The MTV salute to Billy Wilder. I really liked.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
It was
set
really
to the
great
music of My Chemical Romance. Also, I think it's worth mentioning for podcast listeners, Scott has a fantastic new podcast, the Comedy Death Ray Podcast.
Death Ray Radio.
Excuse me.
It's an official title that you can find on Intelligent Tunes.
Radio.
Or the Zune you were telling me about.
Yeah, it was featured in the Zune comedy section where I snapped it up post-haste.
Jordan, I've got some bad news.
Oh.
My Zune is on eBay. I just posted my Zune on eBay.
Judas!
What's the story behind this? Jordan, did you get Jesse into the Zune? Is that...
I was the first to get a Zune.
Sure.
And
we all know that story.
Sure, yeah.
Listener
Jordan,
or no.
Jordan
Lord
got
knows
a Zune.
I don't shut up about that.
In sort of the aftermath, when Zune launched, they did a lot of things to be hip. And Jordan got a kind of a trickle-down Zune thanks to his connections in the hip entertainment industry.
Oh, did so this have anything to do with your rehearsal?
Yes, I was rehearsing. And someone says, if you would be seen at rehearsals listening to your Zune, we'll just give it
and
to you gratis.
Watching some hardcore porn.
Yes.
With, I don't
on the
know
Zunes,
if you can watch things like
oh,
that.
Oh, you can. It has a very large screen. Very clear.
Very nice screen.
No, you know, I had a lot of trouble with iPods before. I had two iPods, which I felt like had prematurely broken.
So you had a two iPod system for a while.
I did, right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. A rotation.
And after they broke, I brought them to the Genius Bar at the Mac store and found them less than helpful.
Yeah.
So I, you know, kind of had a general bad taste in my mouth about the Apple MP3 experience. So when the chance came to get this Zune, I figured, why not? I'm without an iPod, and I really like it. I think it's a great product. And Jesse followed suit, but now I guess he's jumping ship for a
So what happened is
Zen or
Jordan had had these
Sony Walkman or Jordan some other fucking thing.
Jordan had had these bad experiences with iPods. I was just too cheap.
I think
to
he
buy
was just
iPod.
Telling us about those.
Yeah. So.
I could go into more depth about when they broke, what song I was listening to.
I'd like to hear Jesse tell
in
it.
In contrast, I was just really cheap, and I was using a Creative Labs Zen.
And what is that?
That's like, it was like an iPod. I don't know. Rio Carbon. That's what I was using. A Rio Carbon. Like, it's like an iPod. A
There's
legitimate
a brand
device.
You don't hear every day.
A legitimate device. I think they've since gone out of business, but a quality product in its day. And finally, the Zune, like the first generation of the Zune, when they introduced the second generation of the Zune,
sure.
They were selling,
I remember that day.
They were selling the first right. generation of the Zune for like $85 on the internet. And I was like, wow, $85, I'll take one. And you know what? Zune is great. Fantastic device. And eventually, Jordan and I was eventually quoted in the New York Times Magazine about Zunes in the excellent consumed column. Jordan and I had, by that point, I would say, become probably Zune's two biggest celebrity proponents. You know, I mean, it depends.
Like, you associate Bill Cosby with Kodak film.
And Jell-O.
And Jell-O and sure. other products.
Sure.
Right. And I mean,
and Fat Albert.
I guess it depends on how you feel about Deborah Gibson, formerly Debbie Gibson, another big Zune user, and her film Mecha Shark versus Giant Octopus, or whatever that thing is called. What's that?
What?
What's that movie called?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have
about.
Officially lost me.
Mega Shark versus Space Whale?
You're looking around.
Don't look at the
room.
Asian person.
Okay. John, look, get on the internet and type in Deborah Gibson and
Mecca something.
And then just a random collection
of
words.
Type in Deborah Gibson
like
and Shark.
Is doing.
Type in Deborah Gibson and Shark, and I'm going to continue
this
to talk
not
about
gonna,
this.
I can't imagine.
Type in Deborah Gibson and Shark Tale, if you would.
See if there's any place streaming we can watch Shark Tale.
Mega just... Shark versus, what's it called?
Mega Shark and Giant's
Mega Shark versus Giant
Octopus.
Okay, so she's the star of a little movie called Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, alongside Lorenzo Lamas. She probably has a Zune.
You know, Jesse, I don't want to be one of these pretends not to know about a thing when he does. When he said that, I remember seeing that in the video store.
Okay.
It's one of those funny direct-to-DVD
full
things.
Disclosure!
Yeah, so I'm not going to be that like,
controversy
what the fuck is
erupts.
Yeah, right?
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, starring Deborah Gibson and Lorenzo Lamas. Okay, so my wife talked me into buying one of these information phones.
My wife.
Wait, what? What does this have to do with...
Good one, Scott.
Hey, thank you.
Man, this is amazing. This is better than any morning zoo I've ever been on. You're the human sound effects box.
Ding, ding, ding. Duborat.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either. He's some sort of giant shark, from what I understand. Wait, what did you talk? What did that have to do with Zunes?
What about your wife?
I feel like
what happened is, I got we were Zune superstars.
Sure.
We had already popularized the phrase.
Wait, why were you talking about Mega Shark?
I know you
got an iPhone.
I know that's
the end of the story.
I was just giving Deborah Gibson as a celebrity who may or may not be bigger than us.
Okay. I thought she used one in the movie.
Did we ever establish she used a Zoom? No. Or you just wanted to say the title of that movie?
I had forgotten about that movie until I said Deborah Gibson. Then I remembered that's why Deborah Gibson was in my mind.
Okay.
But Teresa convinced
me. What a tangled web of a tale this is.
Teresa.
And interesting, too. Wait, no, it's not.
Not like the clear point-to-point tale that is the
shark. The shark tale, yes. Yeah. Well, see, Oscar had a dream. He was a little fish who wanted to be a big fish. And the best way he felt he could achieve that goal was to claim he had slayed a shark.
You and B.J. Porter, you're...
Wait, back to your Zune.
Okay. So, I had a
Zune.
Stretch
this out even
Jordan
further.
Jordan and I were well known for inventing the key Zune catchphrase, rocketed up your Zune hole, which is what you do when you send songs back and forth.
Oh, that's right. That was a main feature of the Zune.
Exactly. It continues to be. The Zune still exists. So we were Zune celebrities. Certainly, Jordan has been to the secret Zune club in downtown Los Angeles, though I can't say I'd ever been.
Is that at Disneyland? And that's the only place Jordan's they serve alcohol?
It's Jordan's true. Been there, too.
Yeah, I've been to both those places. But, in the Zune space, what they will do is kill a Cambodian man while you watch and throw wads of dollar bills at him.
Yeah.
And then it has nothing to do... I didn't see a Zune in the whole place.
This is just something that Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer's really into, I guess. And so, you know, it's one of those things, a fan service type of deal. So we're celebrity Zune enthusiasts.
Sure.
And
I believe that's been heavily established.
I feel bad about leaving my Zune behind, but Teresa convinced me to buy an information phone, and
and you feel like a fool for the last 5 years you've had the Zune?
No, because they're about
the same.
Frankly,
really?
I kind of like for listening to music and stuff. This is, you know, people are gonna bitch at me because they're gonna think I'm saying this to be ironic or as a joke. I like the Zune a little bit better. Like they're comparable. They're totally comparable. Like equivalent things, I don't think that if you have an iPod, you should run out and get a Zune. All I'm saying is, given the choice, I actually like Zune a little bit better for the music management and stuff. But obviously, iPhone's really neat. It's a neat device.
Can you rocket anything into your eye hole?
Oh, it's hard. It's hard. It's a challenge.
May I rocket something into your eye hole a little later?
Hello. Looks like we've got some hardcore porn going on over there.
Were you about to prompt Scott?
Wait, are we still on the intro?
Or is the intro?
Actually, it's now the outro. 2 minutes ago, it changed to the outro.
Okay,
so,
good.
I just had
a quick question because guys, you and BJ, who also created the comedy Death Ray, popular comedy
BJ
night,
Porter,
you guys are comedy writing team together as well, and you know, comrades at arms.
Sure.
You guys were the credited writers on Shark Tale 2,
no.
right?
The sequel never got made. I hate to break it to you.
Oh, really?
but it does not exist.
Oh,
so
why do I remember that then?
I don't know. Credited
or
no.
It must have been when you guys were on The Sound of Young America, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
We were deep in the middle of that whole experience.
That was the talk of the town.
Yeah.
Hollywood was buzzing
Shark
about
Tale
Scott 2 and BJ's...
to never come out. Number one came out, and we were not the credited writers because we did not write that.
Right. So
additional dialogue by credit.
As I understand it, number one came out.
Yes.
Right. And then they got the script for number two and went straight to number three.
Yeah. Number three. We were writing number two while also writing number one.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Because they kind of liked where Shark Tale was going. They think this is going to be big. Let's have the hopper.
We came into the process, I remember, a year before it came out, which was 2 years into the Shark Tale experience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A script was already written, but much like every animated movie, they rewrite it.
Because originally you had been hired to do some comedy stuff on Prince of Egypt.
Yes, of course. A lot of funny things happen in that movie.
Right.
None of which I can really think of right now.
Something about a burning bush.
Yeah, I think, is that the greatest story ever told? I can't,
I
what was the plot
it's
of that?
One of the top stories ever told.
So we were
certainly
we
one
were
of the
brought...
top stories ever told by DreamWorks Animation.
Beowulf, the first story ever told.
Oh, that's true.
I saw that the other, like, about 3 days ago.
Did you enjoy it?
It's crazy. Have you seen it?
No.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I wasn't prepared for it to be that, like, intense.
It's if every movie had that kind of action and yet wasn't set in one room like Beowulf is, then movies would be amazing. But unfortunately, they just decided to put everything in the Mead Hall of Shame.
Yeah. No, there's a dragon chase above the Mead Hall.
Sure, at the very, very end.
Yeah.
Jordan, are you? I think feel like you were just excited about seeing Beowulf because it was one step closer to your dream of seeing Robert Zemeckis adapt Gilgamesh.
Well, one day when Hollywood stops being afraid of ancient Mesopotamian creation myths.
Jordan, are you a mesh head?
I am, yeah, I do. I just got back from MeshCon.
Ah.
You know, it was fun. We sat around. We chopped down all the forest in Iran. We suckled at the teat of beasts.
Oh, my.
And, oh, wait, we married a meteor. Those are like the three funny Gilgamesh things that I remember.
Ugh.
And then nothing else. Oh, God, what was his... Anyway, he had a man friend that was named something funny. I forget. Like a man companion. Anyway.
I started watching Beowulf thinking, oh, yeah, I know what this is, and I'll be familiar with it all. I realized I had never read it about 5 minutes into it, or at least never read that version. Where Beowulf almost gets fucked in the ass by a spear, a 3D spear.
Yeah.
That's not mentioned in the poetry.
The epic poem.
So in the 3D, the audience is placed in the position of being Beowulf's butt? Is that what you're saying with the 3D spear?
Yeah, I guess that is Beowulf butt OV.
Sure.
You know how they say that Star Wars is actually from the perspective of R2-D2 and C-3PO?
Yes.
Right.
The whole...
Beowulf is actually from the perspective of his anus.
The entire movie is very scared of getting fucked in the ass.
And, whoa!
And, yeah. No, it was fascinating. You should see it, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesse's easily scared, though.
Was it scary?
Really? He's like easily upset by scary things.
It's
legitimately...
Yeah. Really? Scary things mixed with the most boring things you will ever see. I don't know why they felt like...
What happens in it?
Well, I think because they wanted a certain amount of gravitas.
Right.
They're
making an epic film.
They're making an epic film with Anthony Hopkins and John Malkovich. And
3D.
In the creepy motion capture style that no one ever quite looks at each other and just kind of talks at each other and around each other. Because of that, they thought they would have to put in a lot of scenes with a lot of drama. So and Neil Gaiman wrote the script along with Roger Avery, and I believe Neil Gaiman was probably in charge of the more heady scenes where two women just sat there speaking for 5 minutes in a computer animated movie about who loves the king more.
This was, if
the
I'm not
queen
mistaken,
and the king's mistress have a very tense.
Oh, very tense. So much meat on that scene.
Mm-hmm. It's
this film, if I'm not mistaken,
anyway. I was going to say something about Ibsen, but then I couldn't get it together in my head.
This film was conceived as like a sort of a super violent follow-up to the Polar Express, correct?
Yes, that's right. If you were a fan of Polar Express, and if 20 years have passed and you're finally able to see grown-up movies, this would be the perfect film for you. Unfortunately, only 2 years had passed.
Right.
I don't know why we're talking about it other than I just saw it, and it hasn't been out for years, probably.
Yeah. This is not...
This is our Hot Topic segment.
Hot Topics.
Yeah, the Hot Topic is...
In other news, I hear they remade Freaky Friday.
Oh.
Thoughts? Sacrilege, guys? Sacrilege? You don't mess with that.
Why are they raping my childhood?
Anyway, sorry to bring it up, but
speaking of raping my childhood, just really,
really quickly. You said raping.
Really quickly, I'm really upset with...
Wait, hold it. You can't make your own segue like
that.
Really. Fine if you want to talk about something, but it's like if I said, speaking of Transformers, hey, now that we're all talking about Transformers.
Okay,
boy,
well,
Transformers was a
way.
Real shark tale.
Let me put it this way.
Speaking of shark tale.
Speaking of Transformers, Jordan, there are two people that I'm really upset with in the world right now. Number one are people who are angry at Transformers the movie and Transformers 2 the movie because it's ruining something about Transformers. The terrible, terrible, terrible television program and children's toy. Number two is people who aren't upset about that and went to see Transformers 2.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, I don't appreciate the kind of language.
Okay, first of all, I know you have a delicate sensibility.
I have not seen it. I barely saw the first one, I must admit, even though I did work on the MTV Film Cinema Awards. They did not screen that for us prior. No.
Did you have to spoof it in any way, just with the without any knowledge?
I remember we wrote something for it, but no one associated with the movie would do it. They all turned it down.
There's actors in that movie.
Couldn't get John Turturro on board to come in? And,
yeah, I bet Tatoot would have done it.
Yeah.
That's what his friends call him.
Hey, Tatoot. I don't know. I don't know what the big deal is
about
that.
Look, it's one thing to go see Transformers 1.
Did you see it, by the
way?
No. Where
do you
fall
on
this?
Okay. I'm fucking... Of course I didn't see it.
No,
it's
terrible. You're a grown-up.
I'm a fucking...
You're a grown-ass man.
I'm not an idiot. That's what it amounts to. Even a child who's not an idiot doesn't want to see this movie.
Yeah. Jesse, you have Babe Pig in the City on VHS. I just want to point that out.
That's a great movie. Thank you very much. Babe Pig in the City is a great movie.
Are you one of the people who says, that's so much better than Babe?
Well, Babe's pretty great, too. They're both great. Babe is great, but I like Babe Pig in the City better.
I think Pig in the City is intolerable.
Really?
What if it were a shark? That's all I could think of when I watched it. Ew,
I can understand. That's the screenwriter's mind at work. I'm not a professional screenwriter. Yeah. You can see the little thing. A little change here,
yep.
A little change
there. What direction
there.
It could possibly be.
All of a sudden, it's the hero's journey.
It's like that parallel universe where it was a shark. That's all I can think about. Like Fringe.
Right. Yeah.
That's all I can think about.
You guys, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, either of you guys, I think Scott would know better.
I would probably.
You and BJ wrote the original.
You're wrong.
You wrote the first script for the new Star Trek movie, right? But it was, it originally was about a shark.
Yes. a shark named Spock.
in Babe Pig in the City.
Yes. Spock went to visit Babe Pig in the City, in his city, in the titular city.
Yeah.
And
it just had a bunch of like fish puns in it. Like,
yeah.
Everybody into the underwater prize,
actually,
which is the Enterprise.
That does remind me that while we were writing number two, I was concocting the plot to Shark Tale number three, which I was very upset in Shark Tale one that the currency, the form of currency that all the fish undersea use are clams, which I thought was tantamount to slavery.
Right.
So my idea was Shark Tale three, Rise of the Clams.
Oh, yeah, they're tired of being used as money.
Yes.
They're not going to take it anymore. Okay, well, we're having fun. We're having a great time. We got Scott Aukerman here. Of course, Jordan Morris is here. John the intern sitting behind me, which is a lot of fun because we can, like as though we were a real radio program. Hey, why don't you look up this, John? You know what I mean?
Well, plus we can play to him. He's a great audience.
He's fantastic.
Maybe only because I'm looking at him and he's smiling at me.
He's been absolutely overflowing with laughter this whole time. You can probably hear him on the microphones, you know.
And when we tell a funny joke, he holds up a picture of tits.
Okay, well,
and they're like, all right.
Unfortunately, your tits.
Tits is tits, Aukerman. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I'm Scott Aukerman, the person who was invited here and is listening.
You can make up a real nickname. I mean,
You don't have to do characters.
I'm Scott Aukerman, the boy detective.
I know usually when people...
You have to have a different one than mine.
No.
Right.
Sorry.
So just think of a different...
You can be boy detective too if you want to.
You can think of a different nickname and you don't do characters.
Okay.
Usually when you're on talk shows, it's because of your beloved characters.
Yeah, that's... it's so hard breaking out of those. Much like Robin Williams having a real conversation.
Well, Scott...
The aforementioned Robin Williams.
I mean,
did you bring Grandma Mump with you?
Hello.
Yeah, there she is.
Hello, baby.
She is. Tell me a little bit about where you got the idea for Grandma Mump.
Well, I had the mumps as a child.
Right.
And I was bedstricken.
Sure.
And so that just let me, while I was in my bed in the dark, I just used to see the most wonderful things in my head, and the most wonderful people would come and visit me in my fever dreams, and then I would do their voices, and that's how all of my characters came apart.
I don't mean to be presumptive at all. But was the Big Bopper one of the people that visited you in your dream?
He may have visited me and said, "Hello, baby."
Now, was that Grandma Mump or the Big Bopper? That was the Big Bopper.
I can't remember anymore.
It's very subtle. It's a subtle difference.
It is a subtle difference. But
I don't like to look in the past.
You know,
I like
it's
to look
those
at the future.
Subtle, it's those subtle...
Hello, baby.
It's those subtle differences
There's
that turn...
There's two things you love. Looking to the future and saying hello, baby.
Those are my two hobbies, if you will.
It's subtle differences that mark the difference between comedy and satire.
Parody and satire, yes.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, it's great to be here. It's great to have the great Scott Aukerman here. Scott also
Thanks
writes...
for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming. It's great to... I've enjoyed several episodes of your new Comedy Death Ray radio program.
Not all of them?
Well, my favorite was the one that Jimmy Pardo hosted. I'm going to be honest with you. But no, you're doing a really great job there on the Comedy Death
Thank
Ray
very
Radio.
Much.
Very happy to hear all the comedians that we love on their own radio program.
If I could suggest a starter episode for all our podcast listeners out
there. The one Jimmy Pardo hosted.
And then just stop. And then listen to Jimmy Pardo's podcast because it's like that. Scott had an exclusive, very in-depth sit-down with Weird Al.
It
recently.
Was exclusive. No other reporter was there.
It's just great. I mean,
that was a treat. It was, he of course, like many comedians, was a boyhood idol. Mm. I remember being 14, 15 and being so upset that I couldn't go to see his in 3D tour, which was coming, I believe, to the Universal Amphitheater that year. And, it was actually the first time I had physically met him. I'd emailed him a few times and it was just, he's such a pleasant guy. And so open to talk to and did an hour and a half with us.
You did a lot of research for that.
I did. I listened to all of his albums over again and just sat there thinking of all the questions that I'd wanted to ask him for the past 25 years.
Right. And then most of them were just about costume changes.
Yeah. Now, when you get into the fat suit, how long does it take you? He was fantastic. I got a lot of praise for the episode of being from his fans because it wasn't the traditional questions that he is asked. Mainly the ones where they look up his Wikipedia page and say, "Now Coolio is mad at you," even though that was 15 years ago.
Yeah,
I may be playing fast and loose with the facts when I say 15 years.
But... Sure. It's been a long, long time.
You That's another one of my hobbies, playing fast and loose with facts.
Scott, I am sick and tired of you going loosey-goosey with facts.
I know. It was great. Thank you very much for saying that. It was a very fun episode to do, a little more serious in the sense of sometimes the show is more comedy bits exclusively, and that one was a little more of an interview.
Oh, you know what I really enjoyed hearing on your show? This may have also been on the one with Jimmy Pardo was hosting.
Yes.
The one where Paul Gilmartin and Maria Bamford was that on the Jimmy Pardo
one? Yes, it was.
One?
You've only heard one episode.
No, I've listened to other ones. I listened to one where you were playing I remember you were playing a Dragon Boy Suede song.
Okay.
That was you. You played it.
You
chose
play it,
a Dragon Boy Suede song and played it.
That was in the first 2 minutes. What happened after that?
Ah, shit.
Do you remember anything Scott said, or you just remember the song?
You got me there. You guys, I'm lost.
That's fine.
That's all right. It's a great podcast. Jesse doesn't like it, but, you know, Jordan is a fan.
Sure.
And...
I just subscribed to it. I told you I just subscribed. I was thinking about what new podcast should I subscribe to, because I unsubscribed from the business.
Oh, what is
that? I finally cut the cord to the business. Our friend, I'm going to call him our friend. We met him one time, and he was very nice to us.
Is he a Zune friend?
Our friend Claude Brodesser-Ackner.
Oh, just Scott, so you know, The Business is a public radio show about the business of show business.
Oh, I love that business!
Yes.
Yeah, on the case, produced by KCRW, distributed by National Public Radio. Although, to be frank, distributed by National Public Radio, sort of in the same way that The Sound of Young America is distributed by Public Radio International, which is to say, to about three stations.
Inside joke, y'all.
They're on the inside. They're here. Claude Brodesser-Ackner, charming host of that program, left the show. It is now hosted by a woman named Kim Masters from thedailybeast.com. Could not be more boring. Could not be more boring. I stuck with it for so long. I mean, he left the show 3 months ago.
What what type of advice would this be giving you? Why would you be listening to it? I mean, you're a successful person in show business. Yeah. Why would you need that kind of a radio
Why would I need
program?
To know about what's going
you
on
have
in
your
the
own
world
show,
of entertainment?
You have your own studio. I mean,
I've
you
got
know,
my own show.
You're
I've
a
got
gatekeeper.
My own studio. I made a television pilot. Thank
yes.
you very much. You know, I make news. I don't need to hear about
yes,
news.
Yes, exactly.
That's a good point.
Okay,
no,
thank you.
Actually, I think it's probably worth piping up that I actually still subscribe to the business, and I was as big a Claude Burdesser Ackner booster as anybody. And yes, Kim Masters is a bit boring, but I think a very good interviewer, delightfully dorky, and the content of the show is still top-notch.
Did you just call her a cunt?
Yeah, Jordan? Did I?
It sounds Jordan, like, and the cunt is...
Jordan, maybe she's
and
a cunt.
Oh, that cunt.
I'm not going to say whether or not she's a cunt. That's for you to decide, Jordan.
Yeah.
That's for me to say.
She does do a nice job in the interviews. Yeah. I give her credit for doing a nice job in the interviews, and I've always been a big fan of the business producer, Matt Holtzman, of course.
Does she listen
his
to the
segments.
Show?
No, I hope she doesn't, because Jordan just called her a cunt.
I know. That was uncomfortable.
Oh, you know what I said?
Boo!
Puns.
I actually said Alan Funt. She's as good as a young Alan Funt.
Was there ever a young Alan Funt? He seemed like an old man.
Anyway, we're having fun. Something that
let's remind ourselves we're having fun.
Just having a good time, talking about the business,
talking
from
about
KCRW.
The business, talking about other podcasts that are out there.
Yeah,
sure.
So you freed up a little bit of room.
I
on
freed
your...
up a little bit of room, so I subscribe to Comedy Death Ray Radio. They're gonna be shooting into my iPhone.
Your eye hole, I believe is what it's called.
Your eye socket.
Yes, that's right.
You're right, they're shooting on my eye socket.
Check
right
it out.
Of the Comedy Death Ray Radio. Jordan, I want to ask you something that we talked about briefly before we went on the air that is something that I know that you are worried about.
Yeah.
This is a concern that you have in your life. The other day, just down the street from here, there was an event called Lebowski Fest.
Yes.
Now, I will admit to have once having needed a guest on The Sound of Young America back in the days when I did the show live and booking the founders of Lebowski Fest on The Sound of Young America. Now, this was a long time ago, 6 years ago, something
Has
like
it
that.
Been around that long?
It has been around that
what
long.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
So many years ago, I booked the founders of Lebowski Fest on The Sound of Young America. It was one of those things where I had never been to Lebowski Fest, but I was just like, well, I like the Big Lebowski and... You know, good for them. You know what I mean? Making a little fest, you know? So I booked them on The Sound of Young America. And I realized at some point that it's getting to be a little bit over the top.
Sure. Yes. The Big Lebowski is one of those things. And I think all of us in this room can agree that it is a fantastic movie. One of the funniest
just great.
Movies.
It's just really funny.
Scott,
just a
you
great
feel
movie.
Similarly? I guess I'm just assuming you
do. I saw it once.
Okay.
You should check it out again. It's a really fun movie. It's great. It's really funny. A wonderful lead performance.
I'm all about the future.
A bit of a mess. A bit of a mess
Hello,
structurally.
Future.
But it's gotten to the point where there was a guy who I worked with when I was working at counting votes in the for the Department of Elections in San Francisco, which is the most horribly, nightmarishly dull job in
Stuffing
the history
Stuffing ballot
of.
Boxes is more like it. That's what I heard.
He stuffed more than the ballot boxes.
What?
He stuffed butts with his dick. That's right, butts.
There was a guy I worked with who watched The Big Lebowski on Sundays with his girlfriend.
Every Sunday?
Instead of going to church. And that is, The Big Lebowski is great and everything, but nah, that's
like church for some people. It's like, you know, going to the Source Awards is like church for black people.
Is right. that so?
Yeah.
Is that so?
Yeah.
I didn't know that
Haven't
about
Haven't you
black
heard that?
People.
Yeah. They call it church.
Sorry, I didn't realize you had your hand on the pulse of African America.
This is how they say it. They go, hello, baby. Let's go to church.
What was
the point
big
here?
The Big Lebowski kind of falls, it's in a category of things that are great.
Right.
But the fans of the thing are so obnoxious that it's hard to enjoy the thing. Other things in this category.
Tenacious D.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The band Cake.
Yeah, that's good.
I remember I came upon Cake on my Zune recently and re-listened to the album.
Is this show sponsored by Zune?
If it's not...
That was one of the great disappointments. We never managed to get sponsored by Zune.
Did you ever even get a free Zune? I know you did in your rehearsal.
I got a free Zune.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned Zune so much.
Yeah. I lost my first Zune. I bought my first Zune with my own money. I lost it. And somebody talked to somebody talked to somebody, and they sent me a free Zune. It took like 6 months.
First generation?
It was really annoying. It was a Zune 16.
Wow.
Second generation Zune 16. It had a Squirkle. That's the square circle that is the control device for a Zune.
I was listening to the album Comfort Eagle by Cake. Fantastic album. One of my faves. I'm like, why don't I listen to Cake, and why did I not buy any other albums after this? Because they've made albums. I'm like, oh, right. It was that Cake concert I went to.
What
was it like?
You know, it was just so full of, like, outrageous on purpose nerds. You know, it was so full of, like...
Where was it, first of all? Set the scene.
Oh, the Greek Theater.
I was there!
Were you?
I don't know. I saw them there once.
Yeah, where, did De La Soul open up for him? Was it as part of
the
Sunshine?
Yeah, and Flaming Lips.
Yeah,
I was there.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Yeah.
It was a while back. I was in college.
I don't remember anything being wrong with that show.
Oh, boy. I was just full
Wait
of
a minute.
Eyes.
Are you talking about me?
I was. I looked at you. I'm like, there's the guy from Mr. Show.
Fuck him. You got to admit, Scott, you were wearing a fucking top hat.
Was made of a birthday cake.
You had a bowler on and you were carrying a cane.
But you had on a skeleton t-shirt.
Yes, that's right.
And
it was a birthday cake that had a groom and a bride on top. It was a very confusing message.
Right. And I just felt like it was just full of guys
what
wearing.
What does that even mean? You're just going down this.
Some
path.
Would call it a wedding cake, but no, it was a birthday cake with a bride and a groom on top.
Oh yeah. Sure.
It said "Happy birthday, honey," and then it had the cup.
I will marry you today on your birthday.
It wasn't technically cake. It was actually pumpkin bread.
And then there was,
that's another problem with it.
And then there was
I don't know what I was thinking. And then there was cake fan.
Who frosted this pumpkin bread?
Guys, I was going to make a Guy Fawkes Day joke, okay?
Sorry.
We all quiet down for my Guy Fawkes Day joke. No, it's okay.
Okay.
I just felt like it was just full of those, you know, dudes who like...
Wait a minute. You were sitting in the cheap seats. That's right. I was with the rich people.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, that's why I didn't notice.
You got to ride inside the Flaming Lips inflatable bubble. just full of, you know, just those nerds who like to shove it in your face by wearing, like, a SpongeBob t-shirt out and, you know, like, what, and bowling shoes.
You know what? I have something to share about SpongeBob SquarePants. Don't tell me that you like SpongeBob SquarePants. It's fine to... SpongeBob SquarePants is fine.
It's fine to be a kid again.
It's fine to... No, it's not.
Oh.
That's the part that I'm not...
Excuse me, I don't think it's fine. I'll be going.
Scott!
Look.
Slam.
You're wrong.
I can totally understand that if you've got kids who want to watch children's programming, you would certainly want to choose SpongeBob SquarePants because it's dramatically better than most
other...
Over
the Transformers.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, the choice
don't
is clear.
Don't get him started
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. But don't be a grown-up that watches children's television and then tells you about it.
Don't be the one who watches it by yourself.
No, God.
In the privacy of your own home.
Or just wears the t-shirt, wears the... Oh, God.
Now, I heard a rumor about SpongeBob SquarePants that his pants... is what they based the Zune controller on because
exactly.
It's square. Is that correct?
That's true.
By the way, thank you. We're actually contractually obligated to mention it once per minute.
Okay.
And I was starting to panic, and then Scott Aukerman slam dunk.
We get the bonus for mentioning the Hollywood connections as well. I got $20 for that Deborah Gibson thing earlier.
Okay, good.
To go back to the topic on hand, I was going to ask you guys, have things you liked been ruined by the obnoxious fans before? And if so, how do you deal with it and how do you move forward with liking the thing?
I'll tell you what, I tell you what was ruined for me by obnoxious fans. It was a similar to your concert experience.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see a Boston Red Sox game at Fenway Park. I'm a baseball fan, no doubt about it.
Wait, where did you park your car? Because there's this great place, Harvard Yard, that... It's pretty exclusive. I'll give you a map.
How is it better than a normal parking lot? You say exclusive parking lot.
Not a lot of people know about it.
Is it just really close, or like, is it Is it covered? Is it covered?
Oh,
is
yeah, it's covered. Number one. Yeah, number one.
You're talking about Havad Yad.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but
yeah.
So Fenway Park.
Fenway Park, the home of the Green Monster. You might know it as.
Sure.
Of course, Scott, you might know it as the home of the Green Monster.
Of course.
It's a beautiful ballpark. In fact, I would say, you know, I've visited many baseball stadiums in my time. Certainly the most beautiful. It really is a beautiful place. It's spectacularly lovely. But I have never been to a baseball game with dumber baseball fans than this. Like, when there's, like, 12,000 beach balls going, and, like, people are, like, standing up in front of you during the baseball game, facing the other direction, facing away from the field, because they're following the beach ball that's bouncing around. Wow. You know what I mean? And I've been to...
Where are they? A beach ball game?
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. So
hello, beach ball. Come on, Scott. This is your thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have to say, Fenway Park ruined for me by obnoxious fans. I had a much, much less of a good time watching the ball game. I mean, I'm not like...
But do anything public in Boston and you're going to be surrounded by assholes.
I wasn't going to go to that extent. You know, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not standing here to get in a fight disagreement with you about the city of the great city of Boston.
When I visited Boston once, I'm actually going back at the end of the month. The one thing I saw in Boston that seemed odd and alien to me was the couple.
Were we in Boston together?
No.
Why were we in Boston together? No, I think we were in Boston together.
I've never been to
point.
Boston with you.
Yeah, no, we had dinner in Boston.
Have
I
you
remember
ever been
right
to
by
Boston
Harvard.
With me.
I don't remember why we were there.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know, it was right before we went to there's no need to reminisce about this on the show. Yes, you know, we have been to Boston together and we did have dinner there once.
Okay.
Can we cut out the last 3 minutes of it?
And the rest of
you
the
show. You want to direct the rest of the show, Scott?
Okay, just cut out the last three, and here we go.
Thank you, Jordan.
Remember when you guys went to Boston together?
I do. It's a long and interesting story. Anyway, the thing in Boston that I saw that seemed a native Boston animal was the couple, usually overweight. They can be any age, wearing kind of matching full Red Sox gear and kind of walking around holding hands. Like the couple, both of them have hats, both of them have jerseys, and, you know.
That's not exclusively Boston. That's the many cities. I remember when I lived in Chicago and Milwaukee, there were, you know, Green Bay and Chicago people constantly like it. It seems like the further west you go, the less people care about sports.
Uh-huh.
You know, which I think is perfect to live in California and just not care. You know.
What I'm amazed by, and I feel
the Lakers people are overturning cars.
Yeah, but not my kind of people.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Then
I'm talking about white people.
You don't have any whites acting weird.
I feel like I really get the feeling here, living here in Los Angeles, the people who like the Lakers don't really give a fuck about basketball at all.
They just like an excuse to overturn a car.
They're just looking for an excuse to act like they're hanging out with Jack Nicholson or something.
I'm going to go overturn a few cars at the Michael Jackson Memorial on Tuesday.
That's good.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Are you going to be there?
That's going to be great. Well,
did you get your entry into the lottery system?
You know what I did is I got some I got some window flags.
Michael Jackson window flags.
Some rest in peace.
So you look like
a
Michael Jackson diplomat.
Exactly. So Jordan, I will give that. And I also
Fenway Park was ruined.
Fenway Park
you.
Was ruined for me. Has anything like this ever been ruined for you, Scott?
Well, the aforementioned Tenacious D. I remember I used to go see them, you know, in small clubs, and then the bigger they got, the worse their crowd became.
Yeah.
to the point where it was hard to go see them anymore because the last time I saw them was their last tour at a Universal Amphitheater, and just the worst people.
This side
of Fenway Park.
What I always wondered about that was like, who were those? Because when we, Jordan, you were with me when we went to see Tenacious D, right?
Yes.
We saw Tenacious D.
You guys go everywhere together. Was it in Boston?
We saw their second tour when we were in college. We saw their second tour in like 2001-ish.
More detail, please.
Yeah. And
longer, boringer.
You guys want to do the show?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, guys.
Go ahead, Jordan.
No,
Jordan,
come back.
So we went to see Tenacious D, and there was this element of the crowd. We saw them at the Fillmore or something like that, And there was an element of the crowd.
What street is the Fillmore on?
There was a mook element. We're talking about the Fillmore East?
Right, yes.
So there was a mook element.
A jockey element.
It was 10%. It was mostly the same
people. It got
people,
up to about 99.9.
The same people that went to see, I remember going to see Mr. Show Live. It was mostly those same people.
Right.
With a few people where you're like, wait a minute, what's that person doing here?
But
this last time when they toured, like around when their movie came out, they played like Madison Square Garden or something.
Yeah, they did.
I was like, how is that even like? No, they're fun guys and really funny.
I wonder sometimes. I had this theory when I went to go see the KCRW, not to mention KCRW, or are you affiliated with KCRW?
You can mention it. It doesn't matter.
I went to see.
Jordan called one of their hosts a cunt earlier.
Yeah,
so.
I heard that. Boy, that was uncomfortable. I'll say it again. I went to go see their musical program at the Universal Amphitheater, and I remember Coldplay was the headliner. And I get the sense
this
that...
They're different from Coldplay, right?
That's right.
Okay.
They're different from Oh, Baby. I get a sense that sometimes people like to go to something because it's a thing.
Right.
We were sitting directly in front of a bunch of girls who talked very loudly throughout the entire Coldplay performance until clocks came on, and then they went, woo, throughout the entire thing, and then returned to talking. Right?
They were just there to hear the single, radio single.
Yeah. I'm not going to, look, KCRW is a great public radio station as far as that goes,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like there's a strong element of the KCRW audience whose entire life is predicated upon that. That mm-hmm. going to see something because they heard it's a thing.
Nerve.
It's like this Los Angeles Hollywood, it's a very specifically LA thing.
It's not KCRW. I just think that it sort of struck me when I was there. The more famous you get, the more you are just a thing that people will go, oh, I'll throw money at that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, if it's just I'm sure that Tom Cruise, that's how his movies opened so big for a while, because it's like, well, what do you want to, people are essentially bored at home, and
right.
you go, what do you want to do tonight? Well, there's this thing that everyone's heard of. That's why Transformers is so popular
and why people go to it. Barnum and Bailey. That's the whole basis of this operation for 100 years, is just, the circus.
Yeah. People are bored. We have something to cure them of that. Yeah, that's all it is.
To be fair, I think that like searching for new stuff on, you know, on the internet or, you know, searching out
on Zoom.com.
On Zoom.com.
In the social.
Yeah. Like searching out
that's
new media and
right
like
there, 20 bucks.
You know, going to see
Hey,
a
have
band.
You guys been checking out Wale's Mobisodes from his tour on Zoom.com? $40.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Is it Wale? What's
Wale.
That?
Wale. Wale.
He's a
featuring
rapper.
Lady Gaga.
He's a rapper. Wale.
Oh, okay. To be fair, I think that is you know, a pastime.
Please be fair.
A pastime for, you know, the college student or the unemployed or something like
no,
that.
That's
so it's
a,
like
yeah.
when you have a job, you're like, ah, fuck, you know, I better just like, I have to go to a thing and you don't know about it because you don't.
Yeah,
you know.
Like sometimes I would see the ladies at the pharmacy where I get my drugs and, you know, all of a sudden they'd just be listening to, say, Star 97 or whatever, and it would play the same songs that you hear over and over again, but they would perk up, you know, when one that they had heard a lot would come up, and then they would sing along to it, and I think that's what it is. Like, all of a sudden you read in the paper that Coldplay will be here, and you I know what it is!
This is something amazing. When I worked in Washington, D.C., I worked at this Borders in Washington, D.C., there was this guy there who was like, he had a reputation in the Borders, and every presumption that you're making right now about a guy who has a reputation for working in a Borders, absolutely correct, for being the guy who knew what the next big thing was, like for being really hip and cool and into it. And I remember that the two things that he was really into, and this is like, I don't remember how old I was, 2002 or 3, like a long time ago.
You keep your age a secret, too.
Were Coldplay and Maroon 5. He was like, Maroon 5's going to be the next big thing.
Get ready.
And then they were the next big thing. But what I'm wondering is, like, who is the person, and this isn't anything against Maroon 5, but like, who is the person who not only like who that thing that a person has heard a million times and just likes because it's familiar. Like, who's the person who's ahead of the curve on that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what? Like, who is that person? Like, who's like, oh, you know who's going to be big? Michael Bay.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Like that is
especially since Coldplay had been out for 2 years by 2002.
Right. But the difference for Coldplay here is he anticipated
that they were Coldplay, going to be giant.
Coldplay going from sort of like
indie superstardom,
like a indie star, sort of the like poor man's Radiohead, like just something right. that people like if they
to something that everyone in the world
to something that
would.
Somehow is a famous rock band, like a super famous.
That's almost
rock
like picking
band.
Stocks, entertainment stocks, in a way of like
yeah, it's
hitch
so
a ride
weird.
To Coldplay.
It was sort of it, to me like that that memory of that guy is like forever time. Tied in with the guy who was training me and talked about how much he loved books and showed me his collection of James Patterson first editions because he loved books so much. Like, what world are these people living right. in? Not where they not where they just go to it. Like,
I'm
that
actually
I can
able.
See.
I am able to do that though. That skill that you're talking
oh,
about.
Oh, are you?
I know what is going to be super huge and on everyone's lips in uh-huh. about 3 months' time.
Right? Is it like a phrase or?
It's
a...
no. It's entertainment stuff. Okay. It's Wale Mobisodes on oh, Zoom.com.
Thank you. Yeah. I was presuming that it was hello, baby.
No, no.
Just people saying that.
Yeah, just
like
people,
guys walking
that'll
around
be on everyone's
it.
Lips.
Yeah.
This is kind of a negative action item, but I'm going to go with it anyway. What is the thing that has been ruined for you by its audience? What has been ruined for you by its audience?
Oh, man. I was going to say, like, I wonder who's going to call and say Jordan, Jesse, go.
206-984-4FUN, of course, is our telephone number. 206-984-4FUN.
Really? We take calls?
F-U-N. Yeah, we're going to take calls in just a minute.
Oh, is this going out live?
No. Oh, shit. I was supposed to be streaming this live. I completely forgot to.
No, kind of what we usually do is people call a voicemail and then we respond
but
to them
really
the next
week. I really was
going to
stream this live. Okay, well, starting in the next segment, we're going to try and stream it live. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I'm Scott Aukerman, world's biggest fan of Jordan, Jesse, Go. And I want a contest to be here.
Oh. All right.
That's fantastic.
That's a good nickname.
Of course,
dick sucking contest. I suck two dicks.
So, Scott, as the world's
the second place runner-up was actually one butt. So you actually, it was that people misunderstood the rules, I think.
Hold
so
on, trouble. Scott, you guys hear that?
Scott, you're the biggest fan of Jordan, Jesse, Go. So you
yes.
already know that when something momentous happens to our listeners, we ask
it's
that they,
momentous time.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's called, momentous
we,
time.
Yes, we ring the bell and we play momentous time. Here we go, bell.
Bell.
John, the huh? John really dropped the ball. John,
shit,
the intern
dude.
Back
he dropped
there,
the
really
bell.
Dropped the ball.
The ball
okay,
bell.
We asked
ball
them to give us a call at 206-984-4FUN for a little segment we call Momentous Occasion. So let's kick things off.
Hi, Jesse. This is Tim.
And this is Kimsey.
We're calling from Minneapolis, and we just have a momentous occasion to share. We just adopted a little kitty cat, thanks to Mr. Jesse Thorne himself through the miracle of Twitter.
That's right, folks. I saved a kitty cat's life. How do you like that, Jordan? Have you ever saved anything?
Nope.
Scott,
I mean, I've destroyed a lot.
Quick question. Have you ever
similar.
Saved anything?
Because
I saved a kitty cat's life.
Wow.
A kitten, a baby kitty cat. Try that on for size, asshole.
Wow, that's impressive. Where'd you find this kitty cat?
I
and why were you going to kill it? and why did you stay your hand?
Okay, let's second question first. It was giving me a weird look.
Okay.
I didn't really. Two friends of Teresa's in Minneapolis, Minnesota, found a kitty cat mewling in a bush.
MPLS.
A baby, you got it. A baby kitty cat. Beautiful baby kitty cat. And they sent me a picture of it and said, and Teresa was trying to convince me to let us adopt this. I guess we would have flown to Minneapolis to pick up this kitty from her friend's house or something. And it was, I'm going to be frank with you, this is a really cute kitty cat, but I don't really have any interest in having a kitty cat. Nothing against them. They're nice creatures, but they don't do enough, as far as I'm concerned, for me to be interested in having one living in my house. They're lovely creatures. I really, the last thing I would want to do is speak ill of kitty cats, but I'm just not that into them. You know, they don't do any, they don't go around acting dumb and goofy, which is what I like about a dog.
You're just not that into kitty cats.
You got it. That was Greg Barron's fourth follow-up, yes. If I'm not mistaken. The great and very funny Greg Barron.
Moment of silence, R.I.P.
Greg Barron.
Make God laugh, Greg.
Greg Barron is not dead, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Not dead. So I put out on the Twitter a picture of this kitty cat and said, anybody in Minneapolis want to adopt a kitty cat? Tim and his lovely girlfriend, I'm presuming she's lovely because she's the girlfriend of a Jordan Jesse Go listener, were looking for a kitty cat in Minneapolis. They went, they met this kitty, they adopted it. Problem solved. I saved a life.
Wow, congratulations to the three of you.
I saved an Arby's once because I was the only guy that went there.
And you do eat a lot of roast beef.
I do.
Is there more to this call, though?
No, that's it.
Oh, okay.
It's for Jesse to brag about himself.
Hey, it's 2:45 in the morning in Brooklyn on Thursday. I was going to town with some fried chicken. I got a Crown Fried Chicken and Seafood across the street waiting for the bus. And a 10-year-old Ford Explorer pulled up, and it was a green light, and he nods his head back and forth towards me, asking if I want to come in. Assuming he was a taxi, I just continued to go to town on my fried chicken, and then he drove away looking angry. And that's when I realized that taxis in this area drive Lincolns, or they're yellow. And
what did they say, taxi on him?
That was probably a sex pervert.
Huh.
Asking if I wanted to do sex things to him for monies.
All right, well, why is a 10-year-old driving a Ford Explorer? That's what I
learned. It's a good question. Starting with that question, much less how did a 10-year-old become a sex pervert? Probably doesn't even have pubes yet.
Well, he was probably molested himself, and the cycle would just continue. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. That's fair. But I think that's really lovely. It's a lovely little story. Certainly a momentous occasion, solicited for sex by a man in a Ford Explorer. What I like in the one nice detail in this story, and I love to pick up on the little details. One detail I really enjoyed in this story is that his natural reaction to a cab pulling up is going to town on some fried chicken.
Sure. I'm starting to understand your point of fans of something ruining the thing for you.
All
right, listen to these calls.
Mr. Thorne. I am at a wedding.
The world's gayest voice award.
And I am without a doubt the best dressed man here. And you know why? Because my suit was purchased from the host of The Sound of Young America, Jesse Thorne, through the Maximum Fun message boards. This is Alex M. on the message boards, by the way. And Jesse, I want to thank you very much for the suit. It fits me beautifully, and I look so fucking good.
Okay, I'm sorry to...
I'm saving lives here.
To understand what this show is. You have a garage sale type podcast where you basically try to get rid of
this
your
is
shit.
Like, if you've heard in rural communities, they have that kind of thing where they, you know, people call in, they say, oh, I got an extra queen size bed.
I don't appreciate that rural voice you're doing. That's like a real stereotype.
I got some extra farm equipment, a thresher, what have you.
What do you have this week to give away?
They call in. I got 14 baby chicks. I need 14 baby chicks. I got a thresher, and they swap. It's a swap. It's beneficial to all parties. That's what Jesse Go is like.
Next week, are people going to be calling in talking about how they got your Zune?
Look, if somebody's of size 42 long. And they happen to need a suit. I happen to have an extra suit that I don't wear anymore.
Does it smell like bacon frying right now?
Yeah, a little bit. Something pork. It might be some sort of probably carnitas.
Oh, that would be so. You guys want to get Mexican food after this?
I do. I would.
All right. Well, do we have another call on the line? Caller, are you there?
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Yes, caller.
From New Jersey.
Hi there. Go ahead.
I have a momentous occasion here for you.
Tell us about it.
Just got out of a ska concert, my first ska concert.
Your first.
Figured yeah. you guys would enjoy that, or at least one of you. Anyway, so the lead singer of one of the ska bands, he just...
killed himself?
He just asked me if I liked the taste of my own pee-pee. Thought that was kind of interesting. And he encouraged me to go punch a friend and shit. All right, love the show. Bye.
What segment is this,
Jordan? you've been to a lot of ska concerts.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
So you can verify that this person should not have called in, because this is not momentous.
Par for the course, I would say.
Absolutely. This is the kind of thing you'd expect at a typical...
It sounds like it might have been a GWAR concert.
Wait, why have you been to a lot of ska concerts?
Scott, I grew up in Orange County.
So did I.
My formative years were one goes to a lot of concerts.
So were mine.
We're in 1996.
Oh.
The height of
the third ska revival.
Yeah, yeah. And definitely a big time for Orange County.
Sure. Scott Aukerman, am I misremembering that you're high school friends with a member of ska band No Doubt?
You are not misremembering.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Oh. Interesting. The plot thickens.
I've been to a lot of ska concerts myself,
sure,
as a matter of
sure.
fact.
Uh-huh.
The Donkey Show.
Well, let me ask you this question,
okay.
Scott.
Perhaps you've seen do Let's you Go like, Bowling once or twice?
Do you, no. sir, like the taste of your own
pee-pee? This is a bizarre segment.
Okay, we got one more momentous occasion.
Right, here we go. Caller.
You guys, it's Elizabeth in Chicago calling with a momentous occasion.
Things just got sexy.
I work in dog rescue, and my rescue group has just taken in a pug who was found as a stray in Chicago, and I've decided to name said pug Bammer/Bam Bam after my Max Fun Con roommate, Maria Bamford, the Bammer herself, who is a pug owner, lover, and friend of animals.
We met Elizabeth at Max Fun Con, a super nice lady.
Sure.
Class act. She named a pug after the Bammer. That's not weird at all.
That's not...
Because the Bammer loves pugs.
Why
She's
is
got
she
two.
Her roommate?
The accommodations at Max Fun Con were what's called a condo.
We had a con.
A con
you should,
at the con.
We should start by saying we had a con.
Yes. No, I know that.
Okay,
yes.
So you know that we had a con.
Oh,
so
everyone knows that.
At our con, we had condolays, like most cons have. Now, a condolay is part condominium, part chalet.
Oh, I thought it was a lay that you gave everyone who went into the condo and said aloha, which means hello or goodbye.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, so I thought that's a nice little story, don't you think?
That is nice.
Yes.
It's all pets. Apparently, John's really into pets and deviant sexual acts. That's why he chose these momentous occasions.
Yeah, this was the theme of this segment should be pets or dicks.
So out of the many calls, John sifted through all
right,
of them, and these were the best?
Apparently so.
Fantastic.
Because they were so great.
I'm on board.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, callers.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Scott Aukerman, butt sniffer.
Yeah, that was suggested by somebody who we're trying out streaming the recording of the show on Ustream. I announced it on my Twitter, Young American. And Scott, you're quite popular on the Twitter. What's your Twitter?
Scott Aukerman.
Jordan's Jordan_Morris on the Twitter. So anyway,
sure.
I typed into the Twitter, we're recording live and we're going to try streaming it. And it's working pretty good, I think. I think people are happy with it. We got 60 people or something like that there. So anyway, we're having a good time.
Aren't we, though?
We're doing good work.
Aren't we, though?
And you know what? What better time to bring back an old favorite on The Sound of Young America? I mean, on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It was a favorite on The Sound of Young America, in its defense.
Sure. We live in a world of moral uncertainty, surrounded by difficult choices, enshrouded in a fog of indecision. Luckily for us, there's a beacon in the darkness. There's Hang It Up, and then there's Keep It Up. First, Hang It Up. Sports sunglasses.
Are you playing a sport? No? Just an asshole? Hang it up, sports sunglasses!
Complaining about Kanye West.
Well, he's certainly a lot more awesome than you are, so why don't you shut your pie hole? Hang it up, complaining about Kanye West.
mustache.
If you're seriously wearing a mustache, it's kind of embarrassing. And if you are wearing a mustache as a joke, you are a terrible person. Hang it up, mustache.
Jack White.
I admit, this is based exclusively on a picture of him that I saw on the cover of a Guitar World magazine that belonged to my father-in-law, but he looked like kind of a dick. So hang it up, Jack White.
A popsicle that fell off the stick.
Not cool, popsicle. Not cool at all. Hang it up, popsicle that fell off the stick. Hang it up.
And now, keep it up.
What a special gift you have given us, Dairy Queen. A gift worthy of your majestic name, for it is truly fit for a monarch. Keep it up, Blizzard.
Pork shoulder.
Oh, the tender flesh of the pork shoulder is truly a great delight. Keep it up, pork shoulder.
The edge.
Again, this one is also based exclusively on the picture on the front of the Guitar World that my father-in-law had. But he just looked like a really decent fella, so keep it up, The Edge.
Summer haircut.
Oh, the most refreshing of haircuts. Keep it up, summer haircut.
Eagles.
A glorious symbol of a glorious nation. Keep it up, Eagles.
That was it.
What about the Eagles?
Hang it up.
Ooh, yeah, that's a...
Hang it up all night and all day.
Hmm. Were they on that very same aforementioned Guitar World magazine cover?
Jack White, and this guy just had a puss on. You wouldn't believe. He just had his... Like, how...
Old Sourpuss White!
He just had on, like... He's got that horrible haircut that just looks bad. Mm-hmm. He just was, like, trying so hard to, like, look
he
like...
He has the mustache of a musketeer.
He just was trying to look like he didn't want to be there. Just so hard, like, so transparently hard he was trying to look like. And he's standing there with The Edge and Jimmy Page. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? If you're on a magazine cover with The Edge and Jimmy Page, maybe you don't try and be the cool one. You know, maybe you're just like, hey, this is neat. There's The Edge and Jimmy Page.
To be fair, you did not see the entire roll of film.
That's
maybe
true.
He was smiling in every other picture, but just that and one was so good of The Edge and Jimmy Page.
And certainly, given his public persona, he's well known as a smiley fella.
Now, this, from what I gather, this is probably the cover of this magazine was for a documentary called...
The World's Biggest Assholes.
The World's Biggest Assholes. Right. I forget what it's called. It's called like...
And they just happen to all play guitar.
It might get loud.
It's kind of like guitar fellas.
Yeah, it's like guitar buddies.
It's called
buddies.
Guitar fellas.
Anyways, I went to the press junket for this and met both Jimmy Page and Jack White. Jack White was nicer.
Really?
And he liked to goof around.
By all accounts, he is a very, very nice guy.
Well, yeah.
Hang
I liked
it up,
him a lot.
Jordan's personal experience. Keep it up.
Jesse's snap judgment.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Scott, that's you.
Oh, yeah.
Scott, come on.
And I am the wonderful, big bopper loving Scott Aukerman. Let's all make a pact to kill ourselves after the show.
Yay, finally.
Much like Air McNair and his murder-suicide pact.
Wow, that's terrible. Was that what happened?
They say that it was a murder-suicide, but I don't know if a pact
who
was involved.
Who was the murderer and who was the suicide?
I believe Air McNair was murdered, and the girl he was with was the suicide.
Oh, well, because Air McNair wouldn't want to commit suicide. He's an NFL football great.
Hey, guys, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well... Some news broke on the 4th of July.
Some people, I felt bad because I've talked on the show too much about the late 1980s, early 1990s San Francisco Giants. So I am instituting a moratorium on talking about the late 1980s, early 1990s San Francisco Giants because I know you don't follow sports, you don't follow baseball,
no.
You don't care if I want to talk about Jose Uribe.
What's Jerry Rice up to now?
he thinks he can dance.
Oh, I didn't know he was on there.
Not mistaken. So I just want to let you know, moratorium.
Oh,
so I'm going to focus
thanks.
On the
Tennessee
A's.
Titans.
I'm going to focus on the A's and like mostly Walt Weiss and Carney Lansford.
So you're just going to do the same thing.
Whoa,
that's fine. All right.
Carney Lansford. Let's go to the telephones. John's picked out a couple doozies for us.
Hello, caller.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. I just
what about me?
A guy wearing a JJ Gale t-shirt. And I was going to give him a heads up, say, like, hey, dude. But we need, like, a code phrase or something. Like, and I was going to say, like, hey, Boner Society. But there's no way I'm going to say, like, hey, Boner Society, because if the guy isn't, like, totally caught up with the episodes, that would just make me sound insane. So that's an action item for you guys. Come up with a cool code word for the Secret Society.
We have this organization called the Boner Society.
Right. But if you don't know about that, that's a little weird to have
weird
someone
to say, yeah,
wink
because
at
it's
you.
Totally, I mean, the thing of it,
yeah,
the thing
especially
of it
if
is,
you're chowing down on some fried chicken.
Sure. Yeah.
Going to town.
The guy's
going to town, 10-year-old
in a Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
So the thing about the Boner Society,
if you're
it's
some
totally,
kind of car baby,
it's totally not a sex thing. A lot of people assume it's a sex thing, and you can see how it would be easy to assume, but it's just about reaching
mainly because of the word boner.
It's about reaching your maximum potential.
Oh, right.
It's about living up to your dreams and doing all, being all you can be, as the old Army commercials used to say. And that makes me think that a good answer to this problem, if you see somebody in a Jordan Jesse Go t-shirt, or if you just want to secretly, you know, figure
acknowledge
out, yeah, you go up to them, you say, the motto of the Boner Society, ever skyward.
Oh,
right?
Ever skyward.
It's elegant.
I would think that would be even weirder if I didn't know what you were
Well, you would just
about
assume that they were in a like a death cult, which is not nearly so weird. I mean, even NFL greats like
Air McNair.
Air McNair.
R.I.P. Air McNair.
What I've pieced together is that some football guy had some weird suicide thing recently.
He was shot many times, which
former
I don't think
former quarterback
happens
for the Tennessee Titans. Ah.
I think simplify. Just say gofuckyourself.com.
gofuckyourself.com.
Yeah, and see what they
and
say.
And see what they have to say.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Jordan, you're part of this Jordan Jesse Go. You're the Jordan half.
Yeah.
What do you have to say? What do you think about just saying ever skyward?
Just give them a little pat on the bottom.
Just a pat on
just
the rear. And see
handed,
how they...
yeah.
People used to do a handshake in order to tell, because everyone you met on the street you would give a handshake to.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's far too many people in the world to give everyone a handshake. You
right
try.
Right.
Sure.
You know, but
there's
overpopulation. You miss some
people. This is another one of the problems of overpopulation. If you go to sub-Saharan Africa, there's children who have never shaken a hand because there's just too many people.
Too many people, and they don't even know the secret handshakes.
Too many people.
Were they to shake someone's
too
hand?
Too many people, not enough fava beans. So they're undernourished, malnourished.
I mean, I would say we should create a secret handshake, but it's going to be tough because of this
it's an audio program.
Audio program we have. So,
what do you think our secret handshake could be? It's like
Wait, I have a better idea.
Okay.
Secret mouth shake.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good
idea. You just
go
up to someone and give them a mouth shake.
Okay.
You shake their mouth
done
with your mouth.
Well, problem solved. Okay, well, look.
Just French them is what you're saying.
Wait,
just
what?
Just French them.
No, it's a mouth shake.
Oh,
don't
I'm
be
sorry
so crude.
I'm sorry.
I feel like this would make an excellent... I feel like this is an excellent action item, so I'm going to throw it open to our audience and say, what is the... How can a Max Fun Sir or Jordan Jesse Go fan recognize another one? Is there some secret exchange, a handshake, a secret password, a series of eye blinks? What can we do to recognize each other in a public place?
Why don't we say that until that is figured out by your audience,
yeah,
that,
no,
it'll
we
be
do
a
that
know
you
shake
say, or well, you say ever skyward and right then kiss someone full on the lips.
Right, with tongue?
Sure.
Well, because otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean,
okay,
is there another way to kiss?
Done. Okay, done. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I'm Mr. Butt.
No, you are not Mr. Butt.
Oh,
someone who is.
Oh, I want to be Mr. Butt.
You stole that, Scott.
I'm Mr. Butt.
Okay. Here's your juice.
Scott.
Here's your juice box. Go lay down. Take your nana.
No, I'm not Mr. Butt. I'm Scott Aukerman. Thanks for listening to.
You're saying Mr. Butt because for the benefit of the 10,000 people
Kite
who listen on the podcast rather than the 40 who are listening live,
yes,
someone logged into the chat room
as
with
Mr.
the name
Butt.
Mr. Butt. He has yelled hi-yo in the chat room.
It has made us laugh so much to hear Mr. Butt.
Yeah.
Those two words together is just magic.
We had a lot of fun. You know what? We had a lot of fun on this show this week.
Thank
yeah
you so
I had
much
a great time.
Me.
It was so nice to have you here, Scott. Scott Aukerman is... I'm going to recommend a couple of things to check out if you're interested
great
in Scott Aukerman. Number one, I'm going to recommend that you check out his Twitter feed. It's at Scott Aukerman.
At
Twitter.com/ScottAukerman. Aukerman, A-U-K-E-R-M-A-N.
That's true. It's a combination of great jokes and the world's worst jokes.
Right. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to suggest that you check out the web series Between Two Ferns with Mr. Zach Galifianakis.
Yes.
Because Scott Aukerman and B.J. Porter work with Zach Galifianakis to create this web series.
That's right. We write them, but we can't actually say that we write them because they're supposed to be real interviews.
Right.
But it's a combination of Zach riffing and us writing.
Right. And they're spectacular. They're just really hilarious and really, really funny. And also very impressive because, you know, the idea of someone writing something for Zach Galifianakis is a challenge because he has such a unique voice.
Yes.
You guys do a fantastic job.
Thank
of
you
that.
Very much. Yes, they're a lot of fun to do.
And you know who else does a good job? Zach Galifianakis is good at that, too.
Yes, he is.
Challenging, but he's quite good at
he's
it.
He's figured himself out.
Number three, of course, Scott Aukerman hosts the podcast / internet radio show for Indie 103.1, the not actually a radio station here in Los Angeles, called CDR Radio, Comedy Death Ray Radio.
You can look it up on iTunes. We're in our 10th show.
And they're really great. You can check out, of course, Jordan's favorite is
The Weird Al episode.
I really enjoyed the one with Jimmy Pardo hosting.
Right. We've had a couple of great. We just had Amy Mann on 2 days ago. She was my co-host.
That lady's a class act.
Yes, she's fantastic.
If anybody's going to class up a joint, it's
going
to be Amy
nominee.
Mann, right?
Oscar nominee. The first Oscar nominee on my program.
And a very
You've had
nice
very
woman.
Many of
oh,
them,
Oh, I've
I'm
had
sure.
millions, hundreds yes. of Oscar nominees, as well as people involved in the production of Oscar-quality films like Babe, Pig in the City.
Or Oscar, starring Sylvester Stallone.
It's not a bad movie.
No, it's not a bad movie.
Except for him. He's horrible.
Our theme music is Love You by the Free Design, available on their compact disc. Kites Are Fun, the best of the Free Design from Light in the Attic Records, which there's a thread on the forum right now. I tell you, people are always emailing me, buying that CD changed their life. There's a thread on the forum right now about how wonderful it is.
My gums hurt. I've got a lot of gum paint. I mean, the person's probably.
I hope you don't
disease?
See a fan of the show because he's going to give you a greeting that might exacerbate that.
Oh yeah, when he Frenches me.
And I got a great idea, you guys,
yes.
for how we can take this show out.
Let's hear it.
Why don't we play Scott Aukerman's new single?
Oh, I have a brand new single. The blogosphere is abuzz about it. I mean, people
are going bonkers.
I just released it on
is
Friday.
Is it all over MySpace?
It is. It's ever. That's the great thing is, you know, once you put it out there, you can't take it back, but you know, people either love it or hate it, but everyone's talking about it. That's the great thing as an artist, just to hear people talking about
I know what
content.
That is like.
Internet content.
Oh.
If people want to get this single, they can find it maybe on your Twitter feed.
I just put a link up to a free download of it on my Twitter feed. It's
purchase it for sale?
Oh no, I put it out there for free, but what I want to see is I want to see people remixing it
right.
and you know, mashups.
Are you going to put
know?
Up the stems?
Oh, all the stems, all the seeds. Yeah,
gotcha.
We're getting all of that going.
Scott, tell us a bit about this. What is this single?
Oh, well, you've heard of Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, yeah.
Have I ever? I heard him on Comedy Death Ray Radio.
Now, look.
Oh, wait, that was Jordan.
He is the best at what he does, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Now, I am the best at what I do, which is exactly what he does. Okay, now, there's a song called Birthday Sex by Jeremiah, I decided to do a parody of it, and just dropped on Friday. It is called Birthday Checks.
Okay.
Not about the famous cereal, yeah. but about the checks that people send you on your birthday.
Quick question.
Yes.
Do you think you have established the premise of this single enough?
I'm not sure. I would
it requires
love to go
more
into
establishment.
It.
Because I know, of course, Weird Al's the best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
He does those spoken word interludes.
Yes,
on his
where
album.
He explains every single song before.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I like to do.
A lot of times it's in a Weird Al song, you're looking at a pretty complicated joke.
Yeah. Well, this one is so complicated that it really does. I really did need to set up the clip because
okay.
if you just listen to it, you may not get the subtleties,
okay.
which I've been able to sort of explain to you.
Absolutely. Well, that's it. That's all. We'll talk to you next time. Jordan. Oh, this week's action items. Number one, we need some way for Max Funsters to recognize each other. And number two, we want to know what for you has been ruined by its audience. What has been ruined by its audience? 206-984-4FUN or jjgo@maximumfun.org. We'll see you next time on Jordan Jesse Go. Here's Scott Aukerman. Thank you.
It's my birthday, so you're all coming to my house. Opening presents from my friends and my spouse. Tear the wrapping paper, then I start to cry out. Bunch of things that I could have done without. I said I want cash and don't think I got none. These pants ain't my fashion, someone pulled a fast one. This sweater is itching, I hate everyone. Then I open up the mail, girl. Girl, you know I start screaming. People send some cards redeeming this birthday party. Girl, you know I can pay my bills and rent. Cause my family just sent some birthday checks. Birthday checks. It's the best day of the year, girl. Birthday checks, birthday checks. It feels like someone sent a 10 spot. Seems like grandma mailed me out one that's for 10. Grab another card and see what is within. Here's $5 from my good old Auntie Jean. Ring that bell, there are more from the mailman. My grandpa sent 50, cause it's my birthday. Uncle Bobby sent 20, my wallet is bursting. One last one to open, it's from Dad and Mommy. Tell me how much is their gift, girl. Girl, you know I start screaming, this is what I've always been dreaming. They sent 100, girl, you know I sit there almost in shock. I can get my car out of hock because of birthday checks, birthday checks. It's the best day of the year, girl. Birthday checks, birthday checks. It feels like someone sent a 10 spot.